Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. When evangelizing, one must be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. His methods do not fit our little how-to boxes. One size does not fit all. Though the essence of the gospel message is always the same, God does not minister to everyone in just one way. Therefore, in every circumstance, we must be faithful to what the Spirit is calling us to do in that particular moment. Please open your Bible to Acts chapter 14 and follow along as Pastor Ray Viola begins his teaching on verses 1 through 18.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, bless his holy.
Acts chapter 14, verses 1 through 18. In verse 1, and it came to pass in Iconium that they, Paul and Barnabas, went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. Iconium is a city that was located about 90 miles southeast of Antioch of Pisidia. It was a Roman province of Galatia. And here we find Paul and Barnabas unshaken by the mixed reception that they received in Antioch, going into the synagogue of the Jews now in Iconium and preaching the word of God. They were not moved by the mixed reaction. They were simply faithful to doing what God called them to do. And that's something that every one of us need to bear in mind. We are so results driven, aren't we? We are so numbers driven. And there's such a thought that we have that if we're successful, then every time we share the gospel, people are going to repent. That simply is not true. Wish to God it would be true, but it simply is not true. In fact, the fact of Scripture and the fact of history would prove that the vast majority of people do not believe the gospel. But we have been commanded by the Lord, exhorted by the Lord, to go into all the world, be a witness, and share the gospel with every creature. So here are Paul and Barnabas now coming into this area. Many believe of the Jews and of the Greeks. But in verse 2, the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected or poisoned or embittered against the brethren. It's always the unbelieving who will poison the minds of people against those who take a stand for the truth. There is nothing new under the sun. Now, we dress a little differently than they did back in that culture. We get around a little bit differently than they did in that culture. But basically, the Bible says in the book of Psalms that God fashions all of our hearts alike. We have so much in common. There may be cultures and styles that are different, but there are people just like us. And the gospel that we preach is the same gospel that they preached, and it's often met with either the same response of yes to the Lordship of Jesus Christ or no. And it's many times the unbelieving who poison and embitter the minds of those who hear the gospel. Do you ever get discouraged when you witness to people and they simply do not want to hear it? Do you ever get frustrated? Well, we all do. Your testimony and mine are probably alike. I thought that when I got saved out of the lifestyle that I was living, that when I told my family that I was a born-again Christian, that they would do cartwheels and have balloons and everything and say, wow, this is great. When I told them I'm a born-again Christian and I follow Jesus, they said, we didn't raise you like that. What? Are you kidding me? You see, because their minds were poisoned against the gospel of the grace of God. And again, saints, I may say this a number of times this morning, and I don't apologize for being repetitive, but in one sense I do. Just be faithful to what God calls you to do. and leave the outcome to Him. Be faithful, speak the truth in love. Don't go around with a chip on your shoulder, a holier-than-thou attitude. Live loud for Jesus Christ. Everyone else is living loud no matter what they are or who they are. Just live loud for Christ and share the gospel. And there will be some that will affirm the testimony of the grace of God, and the vast majority will not. Again, God measures success, not by numbers, not by volume. It is required of stewards that they be found faithful. Steward whatever God has given to you faithfully. And you will find, just like we find in Scripture, that there will be a mixed response. So there's opposition. But notice in verse 3, long time therefore abode they speaking boldly. The Bible says in, I think it's Proverbs chapter 28, verse 1, the righteous are bold as a lion. Now, boldness isn't arrogance. Jesus was not arrogant. Boldness is just fearless. It's just believing that we say we're Bible believers. We believe what the Bible says. And so they were bold to declare the truth of the gospel. They spoke boldly in the Lord. There's no indication of how long a period of time they were doing this. And they gave testimony, notice, unto the word of his grace. Remember, they were exhorted to continue in the grace of God. And God granted, that's the implication here, signs and wonders to be done by their hands. I want you to note that Paul and Barnabas remained in that area, faithfully teaching the word of God's grace to those who had come to faith in Jesus Christ. And that's how we grow. That's how we become disciples, by hearing the word of God. In the book of Ephesians chapter 4, we read of the ascension ministry gifts, that among them are pastors and teachers. Notice why. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. So one of the most vital parts of pastoral ministry and oversight is the public teaching, private teaching of the word of God. Why? For the perfecting or the maturing of the saints, for the work of the ministry. Every one of us here, everyone who calls the name of Jesus Christ, is in ministry. I am in ministry by calling and vocation, but you are so are you in ministry. And the purpose of teaching the word of God, as we go through the scriptures together, is that you would be rooted and grounded in solid biblical teaching, to know what you believe, why you believe it, and you may be able to give an answer to those who ask you a reason of the hope that is in you without, with meekness and fear. You see, you, precious saints, have a far more possibility of impact. Look at all the people that can be impacted just by you in this room, where you live, the gym you work out, the family you work that you're in, where you go to school. Look at the impact. And part of what we're doing here, whatever it is, here, Sunday, Wednesday, growth groups, any of these teachings, is to equip you to do what God has called you to do. Now, God confirmed those who were genuine apostles with signs and wonders. And so Paul and Barnabas are bringing forth the signs of the apostles as they are preaching the word of God. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12, truly, the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience and signs and wonders and mighty deeds. And so throughout the book of Acts, these God-given signs and wonders were a confirmation of not only the authenticity of the gospel that was preached, but the authenticity of the instruments that were anointed by God to bring forth the message. We see, read this in Galatians chapter 3. We read this in Hebrews chapter 2. Jesus said at the end of the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16, verses 19 and 20, So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven, and he sat at the right hand of God. He's right there right now. Amen. Interceding for you, interceding for me. And they went forth. He went up, they went out. He's gone up, we go out. They went forth and preached everywhere. What does everywhere mean?
Everywhere.
Everywhere?
Everywhere.
At a grocery store?
Yeah.
On vacation?
Yeah.
At a Bills football game?
Yeah. Yeah.
Everywhere. Where? Wherever there's people. They went everywhere, notice, and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. God, in his time and always for his glory, will confirm the word with miraculous signs and wonders. You and I are not the individuals who perform signs and wonders. God performs signs and wonders through the individuals. Now, unfortunately, well, let me put it this way. We are not signs and wonders followers, because we have to be very careful when we talk about signs and wonders. The enemy can falsify signs and wonders. The Bible teaches us that we need to be discerning. But he does confirm the word with signs and wonders. So here's the key. Be faithful to share the word of God. And God will, when it is for his glory and in his time, do the signs and wonders. If anyone tells you they're coming into town and they are a miracle worker, you can be sure that they're not. There's one miracle worker. And he's the one who is seated at the right hand of the Father. And you and I just have the privilege of being instruments in whom and through whom he works miracles. And he's done it in your life. He's done it in our lives. We've seen people miraculously healed. There were three men, and I'm not aware of any sisters, but we had three men we know that were in ICU, calling the family. They're gone. They're going to heaven. The God healed of COVID. It was a miracle. Many other miracles. Not everybody that we've prayed for has, was healed. They are now. Boy, they're healed now. And we'll get to that in a moment. But there's this tendency to be fascinated by signs and wonders. The life application note is so beautiful here. It says, we may wish that we could perform miraculous acts that would convince everyone once and for all that Jesus is the Lord. But we see here that even if we could perform a miracle, it wouldn't convince everyone. God gave these men power to do great wonders as confirmation of the message of grace. But people were still divided. Don't spend your time and energy wishing for miracles. Sow your seeds of the good news on the best ground you can find in the best way you can, and leave the convincing and the miraculous to the Lord. There's so much peace in that. There's so much comfort in that. So we see in verse 4 that we've already mentioned, but the multitude of the city was divided, part held with the Jews and part with the apostles. You know, when God looks down from heaven on this planet, there is actually, spiritually speaking, only two groups of individuals. Those who are in Adam and unregenerate, and those who are in Christ and are regenerate. Spiritually speaking. However you want to subdivide those two categories, as far as gender and race and all, there's two groups of people on planet Earth. You're either born again or you're not. You're either lost or you are found. You're either saved or you are unsaved. You are either righteous or you are unrighteous. There's no middle ground. A woman can't say, I'm kind of pregnant. Either you are or you aren't. And so that's the way it is. That's just the way it is. And as followers of Jesus Christ, remember, we are called to be witnesses. We have the greatest attorney that anyone could ever want seated at the right hand of the Father. We're not called to be attorneys. We're called to be witnesses. A witness of Jesus Christ. sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with the lost. And I think that we have to beware of getting intoxicated by the heady wine of sharing cultural relativism or the temptation to water down the truth of the gospel because we don't want to offend others. The gospel is offensive to some people. It offended probably many of us before we were saved, but thank God that people kept on praying and preaching and sowing the word of God. You know, any person who stands for the absolute truth of the gospel as revealed in Holy Scripture is not going to be approved by every other religious system on earth or a cult. You're not going to be. Any person who stands for the absolute truth about creation or gender or marriage is not going to be approved by a Christ-rejecting culture of all-inclusiveness or relativism. You're simply not going to be. Face it. So there was opposition. And there's opposition today. There is nothing new under the sun. And when there was an assault made, both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with their rulers to use them despitefully and to stone them. So they're pretty angry with these guys, right? Stoning was the most common Jewish means of execution. They were aware of it, and they fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and into the region that lies round about. And in verse 7, what did they do? And there they preached the gospel. What didn't these guys learn from the previous rejection? Well, what they learned was our responsibility is to simply be faithful. Right? I didn't say job. Responsibility. When the Christian life becomes a job, watch out. When it becomes a duty, watch out. I hope you didn't come here today because it was your duty. I hope I didn't come here today, and praise God, to the best of my knowledge, I didn't come here because it was my job. So in the first service, when people ask me, what do you do for a job? Well, I don't have one. Well, what do you do? He says, I'm a shepherd. I'm a farmer. Really? Yeah. I tend sheep. Where? East Rochester. I'm not doing this because I have to. Because I'm supposed to. You do it because God calls you. We come here because we want to be here. Now, well, it's my Christian duty. It's Sunday. I don't have anything else. Football doesn't start till 1 o'clock, so might as well fill in the gap somehow. And I hope to get as excited about what I'm hearing today as I will at 1 o'clock when no pom-poms, no cheerleaders, just the Holy Spirit, the Word of God. When following Christ becomes a chore, you need to go. I need to go in that prayer closet and say, Lord, get my heart right with you. Whatever we get to do, it's what we get to do. It's a privilege to do what we do. Notice they were persecuted, and it says, when they were aware of it in verse 6, they fled to some other cities. Jesus said in Matthew 10:23, but when they persecute you in this city, flee ye into another. Now, I just want to point out something here to you. Paul and Barnabas were bold. Paul and Barnabas were fearless. But there were times when it was deemed wise to run away or run out of an area of persecution. The Preach the Word Bible commentary says this: Paul and Barnabas were brave but not foolish. They were born again, not born yesterday. The Lord protects his children, but he wants us to use common sense. There are times where we may be ministering in a dangerous place, and God gives us the grace to stay. There are times he gives us the wisdom to get out of there. And I pray that we know the difference. Because what is true here of them may be for you and for me within the context of our being a witness for Jesus Christ. And so there, now they go to Lystra, which was about 20 miles from Iconium. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who had never walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on thy feet." And he leaped and he walked. And so the healing of the lame man here closely parallels Peter and John's similar miracle in Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. Now, a couple of observations. In both of these cases, there were men who could not walk, who were commanded to rise up and walk, and they rose up and they walked. They didn't have to claim. Now get up and act like you're walking. They really walked. It was a bona fide miracle. When the Bible says God opens up the eyes of the blind, he opens up the eyes of the blind. When God says that he delivers people from addictions and afflictions and oppression, he really does it. There's nothing to claim. It's a fact. You being born again is a fact, right? I claim I'm born again. I'm claiming. Well, then get born again. Stop claiming it. You are born again in the name of Jesus. This man, these men, got up and walked. The man who was healed of blindness in John chapter 9, he saw. Okay, so these were bona fide miracles. In fact, in Luke's gospel, every miracle, to the best of my recollection, that Luke records, he even puts them in medical terminology to explain that what was done was sound even medically. It could have been proven. Well, this guy gets up and walks. They'd never seen him walk before. Now, I want to point out something here. Healing is wonderful. There are many people, like I said, that we've prayed for over the years that have been healed, but not everybody has been physically healed. We have said, "See you soon," to loved ones and fellow brothers and sisters in Christ who have gone to be with the Lord in heaven. You see, the emphasis, beloved, should always be on the eternal first and then the physical. Amen. You remember in the Gospels how there were so many people at a Bible study that they had to rip the tiles off of the roof in order for these individuals to lower on a man that was filled with the palsy. So I told the first service, if you are one of those who have opened up your home to a growth group, and you start, and the Lord starts packing it out, the people who come do have a biblical precedence if they can't get in the front door to rip the tiles off the roof and come in. So I hope you have good insurance. No. So, but anyways. And so they lower their friend. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, "Sons, your sins are forgiven you." Now, if that was me, I would have said, "Wait a minute, that wasn't a prayer request. The guy has obviously got some physical affliction." What did Jesus do? He dealt with the eternal first. The greatest need of everyone here this morning, notwithstanding what the depth of your physical affliction, and we would love to pray with you, whatever that is, or you watching online, we are given the opportunity to pray for you. But the greatest need of every human being here, every person here, is that your spirit is saved and that you are born again, so that when this body stops, you know you're going to heaven. The emphasis is always on the eternal first. Bless the Lord,
oh my soul, bless his holy. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. as we complete this study on Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
At Koinonia, we believe the church should support parents and help children grow into disciples of Jesus Christ. Light of the Lamb's Children's Ministry strives to keep the focus on preaching the gospel and teaching the Word of God, helping kids discover their spiritual gifts, and mobilizing them for the work of the ministry. Children's programs are available during Sunday services, and kids' clubs meet on Wednesday during the evening services at Koinonia.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.